Thank you, John. Wish I had learned to play the trumpet a long time ago. This fable or story is part of Aesop's fables from years and years ago, legendary things. It has changed over the years. It has, but the basic story has not changed. Two unequal partners enter into a race, and the one who should have never won wins, and the hare that should have won is left with a humiliating defeat. The original story finds the rabbit or the hare ridiculing the turtle or the tortoise, and the tortoise finally gets tired of it, and he challenges the rabbit to a race. And so they have the race, the tortoise, they take off, and the rabbit takes off and leaves him in the dust and stops along the way, takes a nap. When he wakes up, the tortoise is seen crossing the finish line. And it has a lot of moral stories and applications. For example, you can be more successful by doing things slowly, steadily, than by acting quickly or carelessly. Isaiah 40:31 says, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." That's one story. The other one is the race is not always to the swift. Ecclesiastes 9:11 says, "The race is not won to the swift, but to the one who endureth to the end." Of course, pride goes before fall. Proverbs 16:18. We all know that one. The overconfidence that always marks the downfall of famous athletes and musicians or actors or anybody else, preachers, overconfidence can ruin a lot of things. But the weakest opponent should never be underestimated. If you maybe feel yourself to be the weakest opponent. Today is Baptist Men's Day. It could just be as well be Lutheran, Methodist, Catholic. It's Men's Day all across the Southern Baptist Convention. Today, in various forms and manner, Baptist men are leading worship as we have here today and doing certain things. And so we want to emphasize to our men today the importance that we need for you to step up. Even if you're as slow as a tortoise, or as fast as a hare, you need to step up, but you need to step up in the right manner. Now in chapter 6, if you have your Bible, I want you to turn with me, chapter 6 of Ephesians. In verse number 1, Paul talks about children. He says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." In verse number 4, he talks to fathers. He says, "Fathers, don't exasperate your children," but we know elsewhere it says, "Bring them up in the love and the admonition of the Lord. Train the child as you should, and when he's old, he will not depart from it." In verse 5, he talks about slaves and servants. In one way or another, we're all a slave or servant to somebody else. Somebody else is over us in some manner, shape, or form. And then leaders, in verse 9, or masters, he talks to them. And he tells all of them the principles of life that apply to you are from God. And the way you treat one another should be godly, not devilish. And we need to recognize that as we look this. So in verse number 10, having talked to the children, having talked to the fathers, having talked to servants and slaves, and to the leaders or masters, he says, finally, having told you all those things, he says two things. Finally, you need to be strong in the Lord, and you need to be strong in His mighty power. Now, your scripture probably doesn't say be strong in mighty power, but in the Greek, the way it's written, it's implied in both places. So he says you need to be strong in the Lord, and you need to be strong in His mighty power. That's the step of faith that we're challenging the men today to do. But it's not limited to men. It's to women, it's to children, it's to youth, it's to all of us. Strong in the Lord and strong in His mighty power. So how do you do that? he continues on, and he says, you put on the full armor of God to do that. You can't put on part of the armor. You can't pick and choose what you like and what you don't like from the Word of God. You can't decide, today I'm going to be a Christian, but tomorrow I don't feel like it. It doesn't work that way. It says, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Yes, I do believe there's a devil. Satan, the fallen angel Lucifer. I do believe that he will be bound in chains and thrown into the lake of fire one day. But right now, God in his perfect will has allowed him to stay alive. And he is after you. He's after me. He wants us to fall. Verse 12 says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world. Now, don't misinterpret that verse. He's not saying that we're fighting against rulers. We know that God places people in leadership position. In our nation, we are lucky enough to elect those individuals to lead us, whether it's at the local level, the state level, or the national level. And they don't necessarily, they're not from the dark world. We are electing them unless we have diverted to the dark world. So we struggle against flesh and blood, against rulers and authorities and powers of this dark world. And you can literally say that we don't see, that we don't know personally. And we struggle against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. It's not politically correct. It's not acceptable to believe in heaven or hell or there's a life after death. That's what the world is now telling us, and they're telling it with such authority, they know it all. Well, good luck with that, because it's probably not going to happen the way you think it's going to happen. You're going to be. The Bible says when the day comes, there will be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. There'll even be some from the dark side who will accuse the light of not telling them, but they've been told. They chose elsewise. Verse 13 says, therefore put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you'll be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, now that means you've put on the full armor, you've lived by the word of God, you've taken your stand, after you've done everything to stand, stand firm. Don't back up. Don't give in, and don't give up. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in its proper position, with your feet shod or fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And in addition to all this, take on the shield of faith with which you can extinguish the fiery darts or arrows of the evil one. Put on the helmet of salvation, and then the one offensive weapon that we have is draw the sword of the Spirit. And the sword of the Spirit is not a gun or a knife or a sword. It's the Word of God. And then he says in 18 through 20, pray. We have called our church to prayer, and it was a layman that called us to that. It's been a couple of laymen who have called us to prayer, and we're called to pray, and we're called to pray in the Spirit, and we're called to pray on all occasions. Somebody might think, I hope you don't, you're talking about too many prayer walks. You can't have too many prayer walks. How many times did Jesus go aside, go away, and pray? How many times did he pray through the night? When was the last time you prayed through the night? He says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and with all kinds of requests. It's always hard to pray every item of prayer that's on our minds. But as I pray and lead a prayer, you pray what's on your heart and mind because God hears all our prayers. And with that in mind, we need to be alert. We need to be on guard. We need to be alert. We need to be awake. And we are, and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. We need to pray for one another. Did you pray for your Sunday school teacher today or yesterday or sometime this week? Did you pray for Ray as he leads in rehearsals and prepares for worship? Did you pray for me? How about your deacons? Have you prayed for them? Did you pray for Ruth and Linda? Did you pray for Eugenia and all the folks that are working in the food bank? Did you pray for Mildred and I can't even begin to name them all that are at the clothes closet? Did you pray for your spiritual leaders that are doing the work of God? Did you pray? Pray always, he says in 19, pray also for me. Paul's saying, pray for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will be fearlessly made known, I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. If nothing else happens in this place, we need to make known the mystery of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The world does not care about it, but we need to take it to the world and tell them about it anyway and recognize that the Holy Spirit of God is in the midst of that sharing of it. Who did you forgive this week? And who did you invite to church? Forgiveness and witnessing. Who did we do that with? He says, because I am an ambassador in chains. And he's recognizing, you may not remember this, but he's in jail. He's been thrown in prison. He's in chains. He's not got freedom. And yet he's not lost his faith. He's working hard every day to be a witness right there where he is. He says, pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. When did you pray like that in the past? For the gospel message of Jesus Christ to be proclaimed with power and significance right now through this church. You do it by praying for one another, your leadership, praying for yourself, praying for Ray and me and Lauren and all the others who quote unquote are the hired staff. You know, we need to lift one another up in prayer. Now there's three thoughts that I want to share with you, and they're very simple thoughts. Three thoughts that I want to share with you from this passage of scripture. Number one is this, guys. There's a hopelessness in this world without Jesus Christ in your life. Without God in your life, nothing has any meaning or purpose. What's it all about anyway? You live 40 and 50 years and die? You know, is that what it's all about? That's what the world says. So they say you got to take advantage of everybody and everything you can right now to make it through. Well, that's just terrible. We have to be proactive. He said, be strong. You be strong in the Lord. You be strong in His mighty power. You have to be proactive to do those things. You and I have to make that decision. We have to decide. It's time that I'm going to be strong in the Lord no matter what the world has to say. There's a hopelessness in this world without God in your life. Number two, there's an inability to overcome the world without God in your life. Now, some people don't care. The world doesn't care. They don't care. But look, the battle is not with the people of the world. The battle is against the flesh and blood and against the battle of darkness that's overtaking the world. And what's in the darkness? Satan. Satan is there. He's real. He's working to destroy us each and every day. It says against the evil that's in this world. I was asked this week that somebody just came out and said, do you believe in demons? I said, yeah. I'm actually going to read a passage of scripture that talks about it in church Sunday. I don't think they have much power over me unless I allow them, because I have Christ in my life. I tell people often, when you feel under attack, you have the authority of God to hold up God's word and say, get behind me, Satan. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ by the power of the sword of His word and His Holy Spirit. I rebuke you. You can do that. And people don't think they can. They give up and they quit. But you can do that. The power of God is in your life if you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's the big if. I hope you do. finally, the third thought is this. The ability to overcome the world with God in your life is there. There is an ability. Christ came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. And we only interpret that most of the time to mean life on earth. But that abundant life is everlasting life. For God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What a life. And so how do you do that? How do you overcome the world? He says right here in the scripture, put on the full armor of God, the belt of truth. Don't listen to the lies of the world. Put on the truth. And don't worry if nobody wants to believe you. Just know the truth. Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Free from worrying about what the world says. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. What does the breastplate? It's a static piece of equipment. It's not moving around. It protects the heart and the lungs and the central nervous system. Right here, it stays there because the heart is the seat of your soul and spirit. And you need to have that breastplate of righteousness. And the righteousness is the presence of God in your life. Then you have your feet shod with the gospel of peace. Boy, I fight this one all the time because I get angry. You don't ever get angry. So you need to pray for me because everybody else doesn't do that. You know what happens when you get angry? You stand up on your feet and you go after people. You ever thought about the gospel of your feet shod or fitted with the gospel of peace? It's a different idea. It's a different spirit. It's a different way of living. And it's not easy. But with the power of God in you, you can do it. Then you pick up the shield of faith. Those soldiers would have the shield of faith in their shield, in their arm that was not their dominant arm. Because with the other one, they drew the sword of the Spirit. And that was able, when they come from other directions, to turn and stop that dart. Turn, keep that arrow from hitting them. Hold it up when someone attacked with the sword. You need to have your shield of faith. What is that? I think that's called fellowship with believers. When you are spending as much time as you can with other like-minded Christians who love the Lord, and you're finding that together you can fight those fiery darts. Put on the helmet of salvation to guard your mind, your brain. You know, the old saying, garbage in, garbage out. Well, the young kids don't know that word. That was an IBM statement. You put in the wrong stuff, you get the wrong stuff out. Well, it's still true. Garbage in, garbage out. We gotta protect our minds because it's an avenue to our heart. And then that offensive weapon is the sword of the Spirit. Jesus was tempted three times, and all three times he quoted Scripture. Now, you and I may not understand or remember word for word every Scripture, but we know the principle. And we can quote that back to Satan. So we put on the armor, and then we stand up against evil forces. Now, I was reading about the tortoise and the hare. And one author from teachthesoul.com, he said he saw this from a whole new different perspective when he saw one little phrase in the original story. In the original story, a hare one day ridiculed the short feet and slow pace of the tortoise, who then replied back to the hare, "Though you're swift as the wind, I will beat you in a race." And so the hare, believing the assertion to be simply impossible, ascended to the proposal, and they agreed to have the fox to choose the course and fix the goal. And on the appointed day of the race, the two started. The tortoise never for a moment stopped, but went on, and with a slow but steady pace straight to the end of the course. The hare, lying down on the wayside, fell asleep. And at last, waking up and moving as fast as he could, he saw that the tortoise had reached the goal and was comfortably dozing after being fatigued. Slow and steady wins the race. What was the key that guy saw? The tortoise said, "I will beat you." Is that arrogance? No. That was confidence. It's confidence because he knew how flighty the rabbit was. The world is just that flighty. We may not win the race, guys, every time, but our God will win the war in the end. We need to stop saying, I can't, guys, and just say, I can't yet. But with God, all things are possible. The world needs godly men to step up and step out. This church needs godly men to step up and step out. The women of this world and the children of this world need men to step up and step out. These teenagers, the children that we have in Mark Club, they need us more than they've ever needed us before because they're not getting it anywhere else. So Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, he said this, "But you, man of God, flee from all these things, the worldly things, and pursue righteousness, pursue godliness, pursue faith, pursue love and endurance, and pursue gentleness, and fight the good fight of the faith, and take hold of the eternal life to which you've been called when you were made good, when you made a good confession in the presence of many witnesses." Guys, we need to write that one down. Mark it in our Bibles. And we need to stand up and testify that Jesus is our Lord. He is our Savior. He is the one we've committed our lives to above all else. And then we need to come and be the witness in the world, witness in the church, witness with the women, the children, and everybody else we come in contact, witness with other men. I went back through some past material. January 24th, 2010, I challenged the men on Baptist Men's Day with these three challenges, and I bring them back today. Gentlemen, stand up and be counted. Dress up and be courageous. Now, I'm not talking about the clothes we're wearing. I'm talking about the armor of God. And pray up and be confident. Tortoise said to the hare, "I will beat you." And the hare didn't believe it. And we need to say to the world, we will overcome the world through Christ. They won't believe it. They won't understand it. But in the end, they will experience it. Gentlemen, one of my favorite phrases, and I know some of you don't like my NASCAR illustrations, gentlemen, start your engines, your spiritual engines. It's time to step up, step out, and step on. Let's pray. Father, the men of this church are mighty warriors. None of us are perfect. We've all sinned and come short of your glory. And so we confess that sin before you right now. We ask your forgiveness. We're sorry for it. We want to be filled with your Holy Spirit so that we can be redirected so that in the future we'll do better. We commit our lives to step up, step out, step on so that the world will know the mighty men of God who build mighty families, who build mighty churches, who build mighty communities. Lord, the battle's not over yet. We may feel like we're being overcome, but Christ, you overcame the world when you came back to life. So for the men, Lord, I pray that we step up, step out, step on, that we do the things you've called us to do and be the example you've called us to be for the glory of God, for the kingdom of heaven, with the power of Christ within us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn your eyes upon Jesus as you step up, step on, step out, step on. If you don't do it in the power and presence of Christ, you can't do it at all. Let's stand. Let's sing. Guys, we got work to do. And guess what? Somebody else can't do it for us. Let's pray. I do thank you, Father, that you've called us and set us aside. You've empowered us. You've given us the clothing to wear. You shield us with your Holy Spirit. And you send us out these doors to make a difference in the lives of people. So help us do that. Motivate us to do that. And we will praise you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.